You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. In the center of that storm track. But you know what happens to these storms as they get closer to land? We get all this crazy buildup. It's going to be the worst thing that ever happened. Blah, 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 blah. It gets closer to landfall. And then fizzles. So we'll keep an eye on it, but right at the Camp Lejeune area. So they're all buttoned up and starting yesterday. So good luck to everybody. It's on the east coast of North Carolina and the region. Thoughts and prayers with everybody. So. Rainfall, 15 to 30 inches plus. Current winds. Jacksonville, 8 miles an hour. Gusts of 160 miles right now at the center of that hurricane. Projected landfall strength, Category 3. So, anyway. State of North Carolina. But, you know, there are no strangers to doing this stuff. So again, you know, those of us who don't live around there, we look at it and we follow it and all the rest of that. But the people that live there, they've done this their whole life. And the buildings are built the way they're built to withstand this kind of stuff. The bridges are built the way they're built. And the infrastructure is built the way it's built, all with this stuff in mind. So we'll see. We'll see if Mother Nature has got something unique in store for everybody, or hopefully as this thing moves towards the coast, it begins to dissipate as it bends itself on land, and the state of North Carolina and the region does okay. So the 12th of September, 2018, my youngest sister's birthday today. So, happy birthday to my sister, Susan. Yeah. Born in 1963. My mom's favorite. Yep. Don't like to admit it. Nobody likes to say it, but it's the way it is. We all just ought to get over it and get it out there in the open. So it's dedicated to my sister right off the top of the show. About that time, Peter Lawford and all the entourage of the Kennedys, Frank Sinatra and all those guys are sitting there going, oh my God. Is this really happening?
Mr. President, for all the things you've done, the battles that you've won, the way you deal with U.S. Steel and our problems by the tons, we thank you so much. Everybody, happy birthday!
You think he heard about that when he went back to the White House? Or do you think that even made the news? I think it got back to the White House, no doubt. Tries to slink in, right? Put his car keys and his wallet on the table. And then he hears, are you kidding me? But, you know, he wasn't afraid to run the streets, so I don't know. I don't know the rules. Are the rules different? I don't know. Be really interesting to have been a fly on the wall and listen to that conversation. But my favorite version of Happy Birthday ever, Marilyn Monroe, singing to John Kennedy in that sequin dress that they had to sew onto her. But that's dedicated to my little sister, my mom's favorite. So happy birthday. Question is, how old is she? So 63 would make her 50 in 13, 55 years old. So happy birthday to my sister Susan. Tell you what we're going to do on the program today. We're going to talk about the life of Colonel John Ripley. There's a historian, excuse me, give me one second. His name is, I pinged Chris Woodbridge, who you'll hear tomorrow. He's the editor and publisher of the Gazette. And, I said, hey, who can you point me towards that knows John Ripley? Colonel type, of fame. Dong Ha Bridge Easter Offensive fame. So he sends me the name of a guy named Ed Novgloski. I hope I'm saying that right. It's one of those names with a lot of consonants in it. Not too many vowels. What do I do with this? What do I do with this thing? So known on all Marine Radio is Big Ed. So Big Ed's going to join us today. And we're talking about the life of John Ripley. And really, an interesting life. And kind of reading about Colonel Ripley, his son wrote one of the eulogies. And I'll read that to you, because it's pretty interesting. The Naval Institute has a page, and it's entitled Colonel Ripley. And there's a farewell to John Ripley. And there's a eulogy by his son. There's another eulogy by somebody who wrote the book, the Bridget Dong Ha, Colonel John Grider Miller. But the eulogy with his son is pretty interesting. The things he says in the eulogy are awesome. So I'll read that to you in a few minutes. Kind of interesting. Yesterday, the gunner and I got to talking. See, I know when Mike's trying to trick me. Yeah. Okay. So when he says something like, and this is how the interview started yesterday. Why do you ask people where they're from? Like, what? Like, what are you talking? Okay. All right. Well, I can answer that. I don't like that. Okay. This is going someplace. I'm not exactly sure where it's going to go, but he's got a point that he thinks he is a valid point. Now, ultimately, he'll disagree with me and throw it in the street, right? And then ultimately, as we begin to footnote, we'll find out that, well, I object to this, or I don't like this, which I really don't care about, right? So, no, I care. I care. I care deeply. So anyway, Mike comes on the program yesterday, and now I've known Mike since 2004. And so we're talking, and Mike says, I asked about his brothers and sisters, and he said, okay, so this gets complicated. I said, all right. He said, okay, so I'm adopted. So I'm sitting here. Now, like I said, I've known him for 14 years. Never once have I heard him say that. And so it freezes me. Like, what did he just say? So then I start getting text messages from friends of mine. Like, Mac, did he just say he was adopted? I think that's what he said. So then this is from my big sister Peg, who is not my mom's favorite. Just so you know, just for the record. Oh my God, my mom used to Peggy would argue with her when she got in trouble. Oh shit, Kathleen would wear her ass out. Yeah, and then I'm already out in the driveway playing basketball or doing something with my friends. Peggy back in there. So anyway, my sisters have been on a little bit of a mission together. My big sister back in Indiana, and they've been roaming about. So my big sister is with the favorite sister. Little Miss Tooth Decay, Susan. My mom let Susan drink like Pepsi and orange juice out of her bottle. And I was like, what kind of craziness is that? Who allows that? Yeah, and then Susan's teeth. Didn't do so good. Like, oh, Kathleen, well done. Well done. You might want to give her a dose of the way we got raised and not roll over on all this. So anyway, they're on a little bit of a mission. And they're listening, by the way. So happy birthday there, Susan. Spoiled little brat. So, yeah, it's not every day that I know that both of them are listening. So now I'm trying to think, do I have anything else that I need to get off my chest relative to my sisters, since they are listening. I don't right now, but it'll come to me if there is, because there's a lot of shit in there. So anyway, so Mike starts, he says he's adopted. And he just goes on talking like he said, I had ham and eggs for breakfast this morning. Okay, so that's fine. And then, like, later on he goes, is that a big deal? Well, I'm like, no, it's not a big deal. It's a bit of a surprise, though. Would you grant us that? And then what he'll say is he'll be asked about it. He'll be like, why? Okay, then it's not. It's not. So then we get to talking. And I say, I don't talk to my dad anymore. And I talk a little bit about that. And after the show, I start getting interviews. I start getting emails. Hey, I was listening today, and holy shit! Like, who paid for that therapy session? I'm like, what? What, the curtain got pulled back? So, anyway. And then I talked to Bob Nielsen. He calls. He's like, you guys are unbelievable. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I listen to the program all the time. And, you know, I think I've known you guys, but I guess not so much. And I said, well, I guess not so much. And he said, wow, he said, I just had a totally different picture in my head of the way you guys grew up. I said, yeah. I said, well, yeah, mine is a tale of two cities. One when I was little, and then another one when I got to the age of about, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, you know, things you notice when I was little, we lived in a small tract home. My dad was a minor league baseball guy. Got to the big leagues, one of the great events in my mom's life, and it was at the time, but we built a home. We built it, okay? Yeah, we built it. My mom got to plan the whole thing out. Oh, my God. She was in heaven. The builder's name, I'll never forget, George Plesha. Yep. And the other thing she got to do was she got to plan all the plants and all the rest of that stuff, all the landscaping. So we moved to this olive grove that was, in the area that we lived in, it was like the aristocratic area. Again, of a working class area. So we lived in the aristocratic area of a working class, very pedestrian, middle class neighborhood in Sacramento, California. That is now not a very nice neighborhood. But anyway, Elizabeth Smart's on TV. Why is Elizabeth Smart on TV? If you haven't seen I Am Elizabeth Smart, oh, the Utah Board of Pardons and Paroles is looking into the woman who was with the dude that kidnapped Elizabeth Smart, from what I gather. Anyway, good luck to them. Don't screw it up. Don't do anything stupid either. If you haven't seen I Am Elizabeth Smart, write it down. Write it on your hand. Don't forget. Watch it. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Yeah. So anyway, my mom, we're building this home. And in the olive orchard. And first time I ever heard my mom say the F word was after we moved into that house. Your mom saying the F word? Like, what's that? This thing gets built, but it's kind of the demarcation line as I recall my life. I don't always recall it accurately. I think like everybody as we get older. Because there's a lot of shit to remember. My kids give me shit like, you know, you can't remember. I'm like, okay, look, I'm 60 years old. If you haven't noticed my life, I haven't sat on my ass like you guys my whole life, okay? I've done shit, okay? right? I fought for my country. I've been elected to public office. I've done all kinds of shit. You want me to go down my resume here for you, kids? There's a lot of shit on that hard drive. How do you remember all of it? Yeah, it's not easy. If I'd be like you and just sat on my ass my whole life, I could remember everything. That tends to... Well, when they were younger, it would end the conversation. Now they're more combative. So, anyway, so we go down that road. So, but my dad would come home, and my mom would sleep on the couch. And you'd wake up, and you'd be getting ready for school. You had to go through our family room where the TV was to a laundry room. If you had to iron something or get something out of the dryer that you put in to wear to school the night before, blah, 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 blah. And here'd be Kathleen sleeping on the couch. Ruh-roh. Okay, maybe she fell asleep. She slept on the couch again tonight. She slept on the couch. Oh, okay, well, maybe she keeps falling asleep. Maybe she's whatever. But you didn't ask because we didn't do that kind of stuff. So and then it would happen again. And you're like, ooh. And then one time she wouldn't sleep on the couch. And you'd be like, oh, okay. So anyway, so that was the beginning of the end. So we moved into our house. I hear my mom say the F word the first time. When we move over, right, we're in this beautiful home, new, and it's all brand new, built to Kathleen's specifications. Yeah, corporal punishment, Kathleen, if you don't know my mom. Yeah, I joke about, you know how kids, I always say that kids get asked, how does that make you feel? I mean, it's how they're raised today. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel? How does that, oh, he said something mean to you on Facebook? How did that make you feel? Okay, this is when I heard, how does that make you feel? Kathleen would spank us, but it's Peggy, Maureen, and I don't think Susan ever got spanked. Honestly, I don't. For whatever reason. She came along later in life. I don't know. Kathleen was tired of it. She had already beat our asses enough. Smoking her parliament. She was hanging out with Susan. She, like, laid the wood to Peggy and me and Maureen's ass. So here's what Kathleen would do. Kathleen liked gardens. I hate gardens, okay? Kathleen liked bender board, right? That you would put back in the day. You would put it around the edge of your garden, like next to the driveway, bender board so the dirt and the bark don't go onto the driveway. Okay? So we had bender board. And what holds a bender board in position? Stakes. Okay? Those goddamn stakes. Okay? So you could get them like a foot long. There were some 18-inch long. But she, I think the ones that she had were, I don't know, 12 to 18 inches long. So we'd be doing something. She'd send one of us out there to get it. She'd go in the bathroom. You walked in from the garage in our old house, and you took like a step to the left, and you walked into the bathroom. That bathroom had a shower in it. I got my mouth washed out with soap in that son of a bitch. Yeah, and she raked it on my teeth. And it was like ivory soap. Okay, so it was like a rectangle. She has me in a headlock. Oh, you want to talk like that, Mr. Dirty Mouth? Maybe I should clean your mouth out. Like, where did she learn this shit? So she has me in a headlock in the bathroom, and I'm not fighting my mom, okay? Because we didn't do that back in the day. She, like, your mom was good at corporal punishment, Kathleen, swung into action. You were, like, taking it. So I will give you an example of the greatest form of resistance that I put up in a second. So, yeah, she's got this rectangular bar of soap. She's jacking it in and out of my mouth, and she's raking it on my upper teeth. Yeah, Mr. Dirty Mouth. Yeah. Ooh. She's talking shit to me while she's doing it. I don't think she had a cigarette hanging out of her mouth like Keith Richards, but she could have, right? In the parliaments. Yeah, you want to talk that shit, Mr. Dirty Mouth? Yeah, here you go. And I was like spitting soap bubbles for like the rest of the afternoon, and it was disgusting. So what did it teach me? Know where Kathleen was before you let the F word rip when you're 7 years old. That's what it taught me. Was it a question that I was not going to say it? No, of course not. But I had to make sure that none of the neighbors, Mary Lou Baker, or anybody was around, Ellie Klein or anybody else who would rat me out. And I don't know if I got ratted out by a kid, or maybe my sister ratted me out. Peggy went and ratted me out because she was a criminal. Maureen might have, though. Yeah, straight up Maureen might have. So anyway, so into that bathroom, we would go, line up. And she would, and we were kids, you know, little kids. She would sit on the toilet with a steak, right? And she would put us over her knee. She'd pull our pants down, and she would pee, 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 pee. And so, the greatest form of resistance I ever put up to my mother when she was disciplining me was trying to get my hand to cover my ass when she was letting me have it. And then, but Kathleen was no fool. She was smart. She was not the most athletic person. One of the worst memories I've had of my mom was I got hit by a car down the street at the Klein's house. We were playing. My sisters were there. I had a bike. It was a gold Stingray with a white banana seat. And I'm riding down the Klein's curved driveway, probably talking shit to somebody, not paying attention. I go out into the street. The next thing I knew, old Jed's a millionaire, right? I get hit by a car, launched through the air. But being an athletic kid, I like hit and I kind of rolled. I skinned my hands up, skinned one of my knees. I got up and I knew I was in trouble. Now, can you imagine? You get hit by a car. My first thought was, oh shit, I'm in trouble now, right? And I get up and the guy gets out of the car and he's saying, are you okay? And all I'm saying is, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I hear my older sister running towards the house yelling, Michael's been hit by a car. My dad's on the roof. He happens to be home at the time. My dad's on the roof down the street, and we live maybe four or five houses down, and here's Peggy yelled at, which would get me in trouble here. So the horrifying moment that I recall is, I don't think girls went to PE when my mom was in school. I don't think she ever went to gym class. Right? They might have played badminton, or I don't know what girls did in PE. So Kathleen comes running around the corner, out of the back door of the Klein's, down a walkway, around the corner, and across the lawn. I looked at my mom running. I was horrified. Yeah. Stiff legs, stiff arms, shit flying everywhere. I'm like, she doesn't have a cigarette. I'm like, oh my. Oh, my God, look at what has happened because I got hit by a car. So my handlebars are crooked on my bike because it got blasted. She looks at me. She goes, are you okay? She goes, what happened? I'm like, I got hit by a car. She goes, are you okay? And I said, yes. And so she goes, go home right now. So I grab my bike. The handlebars are crooked, and I'm kind of running down the street. And, like, my mind's like racing because I don't know what just happened. Like I just had a near-death experience, right? And I'm trying to digest like what just happened. But my head's spinning as I go down the street, past the Ansleys, past the Carrolls. No, the Carrolls were on the other side. Past the Gilchrist house, and now into my driveway. As I come in the driveway, my dad's coming through the garage. And he sees me, and he's pissed. And he said, and he looks at me and says, what happened? And I said, I got hit by a car. And with that, he spanks me. Get in your room. I'm like, shit. Okay. I go in my room. And he said something like, my heart was in my throat. He was up on the roof doing something. So yeah, that was the most horrifying moment I've ever had with my mom. So we would go in there, and she would, yeah, she made you go get the switch and that steak. I've never bought another one of those steaks in my life. In fact, I walk by when I'm at Home Depot and I see that shit, I just look at it like, you guys are bullshit, man. You guys are bullshit. And so, yeah, corporal punishment, Kathleen. So that's what I got asked. How does that make you feel? Right? So the little pumpkins today, how does that make you feel? So after she would whack the shit out of you, right? She'd look at you and say, yeah, how did that make you feel? You know? And then, and she'd like, this is going to be harder on me than it is on you. Like, Like, all right, let's stop with the propaganda, Goebbels. Right? Nobody needs to hear that shit because we know it just ain't true. Why do you make me do this? Nobody's making you do shit, man. Why are you doing it? You're pissed. That's why. So anyway, she suffered. But you know what? I would say this in retrospect. Most of the time we deserved it. We were doing stupid shit that she had told us repeatedly not to do. And so I don't really understand how you discipline a kid if there are no consequences. And time out isn't much of a consequence, let's be honest. Okay? So, look, I would not be doing time out corner. Even today, my kids would get it. Now, I don't know exactly how I would do it, right? Patrick came home once in North Dakota, and so we moved there. Patrick's 8. John would have been 11. Patrick's 8. He comes home from elementary school one day, and he says, "Is spanking your kid against the law?" And I looked at him and I said, "What the fuck did you just say?" He's like, "Oh, ruh-roh." He said, "Is spanking your kid against the law?" I heard that at school. I said, "No, it's not against the law. You want me to show you?" He said, "No." He said, I just heard that it was against the law. Well, it's not. Beating your kid is against the law. Spanking your kid is not. Got it? No need to overreact there, sir. Just everybody relax. And so that's how I got asked. How does that make you feel? Yeah, how does that make you feel? There's a whole lot more of that if you want to keep up that foolishness. And what we had done is we had defied our mother, who did not suffer that shit, man. And again, to me, it's what kids need. And the best parenting advice I ever got was from my father-in-law. He said, if they don't understand no, by the time they're 2, it's going to be a long road, bud. And when they're little, it's easy. Because you don't have to spank them, the sound of your voice, the look on your face, if you grab them, right? And then you could just flick their diaper, poo with your fingertip. You get that one, which is really funny. Yeah, come on. But when you look at them and say no, if they keep doing it, you would be a piece of shit parent. And I see it all the time. You know, when you're out and about, parents telling kids not to. The kids, like, if there are no consequences, what do? Oh, timeout corner? That's scary. I go and play in timeout corner. Right? So, I don't know how I got to talk about. Oh, because I'm talking about my childhood and how traumatic it was. No, that's kind of the demarcation line. And then it kind of goes downhill to the point where, yeah, when my parents separated, it's like I said last week, it's like the Germans leaving Russia, man. They burned it down. Never spoke again. Except at the funeral for Peggy's 2 sons, I think. I know they spoke to each other. They were in close proximity, though. And in our weddings, they were in proximity, too. But I don't know that they ever spoke at either at any of those events. So, yeah. And so then our lives, you know, our lives as kids changed as we kind of moved around the catastrophe that was our parents' marriage. So anyway, we're talking about things, and I start getting emails about that stuff. Like, holy shit, man! I thought you guys grew up in La La Land. No, we faked it pretty good. You know, we faked it pretty good. But no, you know, we no. So anyway, and so Mike and I are talking yesterday, and last night I started getting all these emails, and then Nielsen emails me this morning. The more I listen to you and the Gunner from yesterday, the more impressed I am. My response, if I had known you'd be so impressed by my fucked up life, I'd have shared that shit a long time ago. But there you go. No, and you know why nobody wants to put that stuff out in the stuff with my mom is funny. You know? My mom, I mean, let me tell you, the most significant influence in my life, my mom. You know, my dad was gone so much. And I idolized my dad as a little kid, you know. And so somebody sent me an email last night. He said, you know, I heard stories about you going to the dump with your dad, you know. And I just assumed that, you know, the way you talk about that. Yeah, my dad used to let me go to work with him. But, you know, when you talk about special things that a parent does for you, that was kind of as special as it got. I got to go to the baseball stadium with him, you know. And so you think of things that you do. Now, and again, I wasn't as judgmental about my own father and mother, but more so my father than my mother. I know my sisters are driving right now going, Peggy, why did you do that? Oh, my God. He's not going to stop. I'm going to stop in a second about my family. Outrage over kidnappers release. Elizabeth Smart calls decision incomprehensible. Wanda Barzee's pending release in the state of Utah after they kidnapped Elizabeth Smart and she was raped on a continual basis for what? 9 months. Elizabeth Smart's statement. It is incomprehensible how someone who has not cooperated with her mental health evaluations or risk assessment can be released. Her own parole hearing can be released into our community. I am trying to understand how and why this is happening and exploring possible options and will work diligently to address the issue of Barzee's release as well as to ensure changes are made moving forward to ensure this doesn't happen to anyone else in the future. Here's my opinion about that. When I was up in North Dakota, our community dealt with, Grand Forks dealt with the murder of a girl who was a student at the University of North Dakota, and she was working at Victoria's Secret, and she was walking out to her car after getting off work, I think on a Sunday evening, and so it would have been about 5 o'clock when that store's closed, and a five-time violent offender followed her, stuffed her, she wasn't paying attention, stuffed her into her car, duct taped her mouth, tied her up, raped her, and then murdered her, and then stuffed her under the ice of the Red Lake River. And so, as that story percolated up, as he was arrested, as you went through his past, what you found was every time the offense got more violent. At first it was just a physical assault. Next it was a knife cut somebody. The next it was, I want to say, the fourth time it was a knife and a pipe or something like that. And then ultimately he murders her. But every time, he never admitted what he did. He never went to any kind of offender treatment program. And his right to be free trumped your right to be safe. And he was excreted into our communities. And every time, he took a chunk out of somebody's life until he actually took somebody's life. And he was bottom line, he's a predator. And I said, my point is this. If you're incarcerated for something like that and you fail to go to any kind of treatment program and you don't participate in any kind of rehab, you're not getting out. Those are the conditions of your confinement. You're going to do those things. Okay? You're going to do something. Can you imagine a four-time offender who essentially goes to prison and says, hey, fuck you, I ain't doing it. That's fine. When's the next charter to the island? Go die out there. But his right to be free in our country trumps your right to be safe. Oh, guess what? He moves back to your community and you're notified. That's awesome. That's awesome. So, anyway, that's in the news this morning. Yeah, so I guess I should share more of my life here. Yeah, my sisters, please don't, please don't, please don't. Yeah, so we're going to talk about John Ripley today. All right, corporal punishment, Kathleen. Yeah, Kathleen was not afraid to light your ass up. I got my revenge, though, ultimately. I'm working out in the backyard in our custom-built home. My sister's watching TV. And I don't know, I think it was sometime in the mid-morning, Kathleen out there. And she asked me to do something, and I made some kind of smart-ass comment that pissed her off, right? And I was 16, 17-ish. So I'm out, so I'm in the backyard, and I'm lifting weights, and she on the deck, we had this wooden deck, with a olive tree growing up right through the middle of it. Pfft. Let me just tell you, if you ever move any place, there's olive trees, destroy them. Yes, destroy them with impunity. Have them yank out of the ground because you will be raking olives. There'll be olive stains everywhere. I did that. Pfft, are you kidding me? Stupid. So anyway, we moved into an olive orchard. Yeah, I would have scorched earth that. Not my family. So anyway, I'm out there, and I don't know, she must have told me to do something, and I said, I don't know what I said. She came outside, and she looks at me, and I don't know. And again, to this day, I don't recall what I said, but she slapped me right across the face. And she brought it from down by her hip, too. So it wasn't like she had her hands in front of her, and she just, like, flicked my face. She brought the big one from down by her hip. Poosh! And I didn't see it coming. She cranked me, like, right across the face. Kish! And I looked at her and I said, was that supposed to hurt? Her face started turning red. It was like something out of cartoons. At the neck, and up. She looked at me, and if she would have had a gun, she'd have shot me. And she turned around, and she stomped back into the house. And I don't know where she went, but when I came back in the house, my sisters just looked at me, and they're like, how could you do that? How could you say that to Mom? I'm like, whatever. It didn't hurt. Like, what did you want me to say? Ow, and start crying? Last time Kathleen slapped me across the face. It was funny though. I thought it was funny. Anyway, good morning to you on my sister's birthday, the 12th of September. Yeah, the spoiled one. And the Marine Corps band makes it official. We'll check these headlines. We're going to talk about John Ripley. You're going to hear a couple of interviews that he did. And as we discuss the life of John Ripley, if you've never seen the painting that depicts, he destroyed a bridge when we only had advisors in Vietnam. So if you don't know anything about the Easter Offensive, you don't know what John Ripley did at the Dong Ha Bridge, look it up. He went monkey bar style underneath a bridge, I want to say the Kubet River, in the northern part of South Vietnam. It was the bridge that the North Vietnamese needed to conduct their offensive, right? They have battalions, they have tank battalions stacked on the road, and it's all coming across there. So they're fighting, and he takes satchel charges, between 400 and 500 pounds of them, and he goes out to the bridge underneath going monkey bar style, right? And you'll hear him describing it. He's invoking God and his mother as he kind of sings this song to himself as he goes. Yeah, the story's amazing. And he blows the bridge without permission of anybody from the Corps or anybody. He blows the bridge and he stops, he stops the offensive from coming south. So you're going to hear his life story. As I said, the obituary that his son writes, the stuff in the obituary is incredible. And the impact of the Marine Corps on John Ripley's life. And his son says the Marine Corps saved his life twice, neither time in Vietnam. Both times later in life here in the United States. So you'll hear that. It's honestly, it's an amazing story for an amazing Marine. So, United States Marine Corps band makes it official. Happy birthday. Good morning to you. Thank you. told that story once about getting spanked after I got hit by a car. That's how they did it then. That's how parents did it. That was good parenting. Because they cared about you. They loved you. That's why I spanked you. And a guy who I was doing a radio show with named Tim Hennessy. He does, he's the voice of the University of North Dakota. It used to be called the Fighting Sioux, but we don't do that anymore. So now they're the Fighting Hawks. Imagine that. The pageantry of the Sioux Warriors and the Sioux Nation. You go through that to some bird. It's so lame. It sucks. So anyway, so he says, yeah, I had kind of the same thing happen to me. I'm out in the front yard playing with my brothers. I have a slingshot. Come on. Slingshots and BB guns. Is there anything more fun? And you know you're destined for trouble. So he said, I got a slingshot, but I don't have anything to shoot with it because I must have shot all the rocks I could find. And I'm standing next to this bush that has bees on it. Okay, and my brothers and I were standing doing whatever stupid stuff we're doing, and I take the slingshot, and I whap this group of bees, and then I got stung, and I'm screaming because I got stung, because bee stings hurt like shit, right? I'm screaming, and he comes out, and he's trying to find the stinger because they're tiny, right? To pull it out. And he says, what happened? And his brother says, Tim whapped those bees with his slingshot and got stung. So he says, my dad pulls the stinger out, flips me over, and lights my ass up. And I said, well, you know, you did deserve that. You did deserve that shit. So, oh my God. Yeah. No, my mom, man, she didn't suffer it. She didn't suffer it very well. At all. And it was always my mouth. Here's another one. Mac, I'm laughing right now. Did you ever get hit with the belt? I got hit with the belt one time. One time at our old house. We were going to go to a high school football game. And most of the time, the thing that got me in trouble was my mouth. I said shit that I wasn't supposed to say. And Kathleen... I don't know, like, we were getting ready to go to the Hughes Stadium to watch my high school play, but I wasn't in high school yet. But my dad was home. We were going to go meet my cousin Tom and Jimmy and my cousin Patty. We'd all go to the football game, right? Because my dad and his brothers went to this high school, too. So it was kind of a big deal, you know, going with my uncles and my dad and hanging out at the football game. And we always had a great football team. And, Kathleen, I don't know. I don't even know what I said. Maybe I blacked it out. But she went and got a belt. Man, she lit the back of my legs up. But the worst part, I couldn't go to the football game. I had to spend the next. Like, what could I have said at the age of what was I, 12 or 13? Well, by 12 or 13, I had figured a few things out. But yeah, so no, not so much with the belt, man. The belt would have got me. If she would have used the belt on a regular basis, maybe I would have got used to it. But, man, that thing hurt. I mean, the stake on your ass was, I mean, that was okay. That was not pleasant. I was crying. But you got out of the bathroom, you rubbed your ass for a few minutes, and, like, once you stop crying, you're like, all right, let's go play. Poof, outside again, if she let you. But the belt, gee, man, you were getting first aid after the belt, man. That thing was brutal. So, yeah, if you had a parent that went for the belt... Yeah, and now they go to timeout corner. No wonder they're so screwed up, the little pumpkins. Oh, don't put me in timeout corner, Mom. I'm going to cry. Really? How about if I put you in timeout corner and then knock your head against a wall a few times? My friend, who's now a lieutenant general in the Marine Corps, I won't say his name. We're in Quantico teaching, and... He went up to see his sister. He goes, my sister, man, she does timeout corner with her kids, and they're just assholes. He said, they're just assholes. And he said, look, we don't have timeout corner in my house. We have the neutral corner. That's where I go when I knock you out. He goes, what a dope. It was the stupidest thing I saw all weekend. Anyway, this is dedicated to my sister, Susan, on her birthday. Happy birthday, Susan.
Oh, You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, you know, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once them bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Can you imagine, were you a Vietnam veteran, and you came home, and they told you to take your uniform off and don't talk about it and just forget about it?
I can't even imagine. I have so much respect for those guys.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather on Marine Land. Clouds of 74 in Quantico. So it's cooled off there. Camp Lejeune, cloudy, 86 degrees, 6 weather warning. As Hurricane Florence, Category 4 storm with winds up to 130 miles an hour, heads towards land at 50 miles an hour. Granbury, Texas, clouds in 74, so Texas cooled off. Montana is still cool. Clouds in 53. Almost halfway through September, man. That means we're getting towards fall. For me, officially, October 1st commences fall. That's how I do it on my calendar. 29 Palms is sunny and a beautiful 75 degrees out there. Nice days in the desert. Clouds in 68 at Pendleton. Cloudy, dark, and 82 in Okinawa. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, temperatures cooling off even more than normal. Clear, sun setting at 93 degrees in Marja, Afghanistan. All right, should I take a break? No, let me just check a few headlines, because I'm not going to be able to spend very much time on the news, so I'm going to do that real quick. And then we won't take a break. We're going to talk about, we'll take about a 60-second break. So we'll take a fast one. And really, that's just a structural break so that I can switch recordings, which I do during breaks. That's how you get segments. Capiche? All right. a few quick headlines. Soon all Marines may be looking tactical with new Pelter-like headsets. Yeah, you see special ops guys with their helmets and their headsets. This has been a long time coming, and I'll talk to Mike about it the next time he's on. Next time Mike comes on, he's going to come on via Skype, and you're going to hear his, like, actual voice. Not his cell phone voice, his actual voice. Yeah, it's bigger on Skype. So, because the wire connections are so good these days, Skype audio, way better. So, you're going to hear Big Mike Musselman's voice. And we were messing with the microphone yesterday, and I'm like, dude, there's too much bass in your voice. He said, I know, it's just the way I am. I'm like, stop it. Anyway, Mike has said that this was the number one thing that he would do, which means everybody is going to be able to hear what everybody else is saying. Okay, now, my question is this. How do you hear the ambient noise around you? Like, so I can hear your voice. I've got these things over my ears. How do I hear everything else? Are there microphones? that I can control that have a volume, right, the mic level, that amplifies ambient noise, and then I can hear you talking. I would assume that, but I don't know. Watchdog report sounds alarm over military aviation readiness. The report found most types of planes surveyed failed to meet availability goals. Yeah, look, aviation readiness, if you were planning to attack the United States, right, the key thing that we can do is we can annihilate you with our aviation. If our aviation doesn't work, then we've got issues. Secretary of Defense was in Afghanistan. Headline, Afghans boost troop vetting after insider attacks. I'm not sure they'll ever stop that. The number of incidents have gone down, but still the greatest threat when you go abroad these days is an insider attack. This is kind of a stupid headline, but I'll read it anyway. A person born on September 11, 2001 can now enlist to fight in the war that spawned that day, which would be the global war on terrorism. West Virginia VA Medical Center renamed in honor of Woody Williams from West Virginia was awarded that medal on the island of Iwo Jima. The remains of two more service members identified from North Korea. The Marine F-35 Bravo, that's the carrier version, will land on the Royal Navy's hotshot new aircraft carrier. So, yeah, which is tied up in Florida, and their sailors are getting arrested at the cyclic rate, evidently. But they're on libo. They're on foreign libo in the United States. So they're fighting and getting drunk. It's what Brits do. It's what they've always done, right? You see their characters in movies like Pirates of the Caribbean. What do you think that's based on? Fantasy? No, that's the way the Brits roll around the world. Hey, wait, and then, like, they don't have any issues with drinking hard. They drink on board their ships. Whoa, what's that about? Interesting headline. Number one, early bird top five. Counterterror costs since September 11th. I don't like 9/11. I don't like that term. Yeah, go figure. Since September 11th, 2001, $2.8 trillion in climbing. I think it's way more than that, to be honest with you. I think that, you know, again, the impact on the culture of additional security at airports and ports of entry and all that kind of stuff, way more than that, I think. But hard to quantify those costs. I was thinking about this the other day. Headline from a publication called The Fifth Domain. Fear, the new book by journalist Bob Woodward about the Trump administration, describes how U.S. officials consider the use of cyber attacks and weigh them as other types of military action. Imagine this. Okay, imagine a nation who's developed cyber weapons that we don't really know about. And imagine that they could click the switch off so that nothing that you have works. And then they set about whatever they intend to do militarily. You're in a dark room. What do you do? What do you do? So, scary, right? The whole cyber thing. So to me, cyber is the domain, right? What goes on the ground? I mean, we can deal with that, right? The whole cyber event. And I would say first, cyber defense, fortifying our systems. There's no greater requirement for our culture, and in particular for our government and our Defense Department, than to harden themselves and make it virtually, no pun intended, yeah, you like the way I said that word in there, make it virtually impossible for our systems to be shut down, to be affected by something externally. Okay. And again, and I think it has to change. It can't be universal access. Everybody can do it. You know, I don't know. It might call for different hardware. It might call for a different version of the internet. But if you don't harden harden your brain and your nervous system, somebody will put you out of business someday. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, you're going to hear some audio from Colonel John Ripley. I'm going to read you his a eulogy that his son wrote about him. And then we're going to talk to, let me see if I can pronounce Ed's last name. Ed's last name is Nevglosky. It's not that bad. Nevglosky, Nevglosky, otherwise known as Big Ed. So Big Ed's going to join us. He's a distinguished chair at the Marine Corps History Division. Yeah, one of my favorite divisions in the Marine Corps. I need to be cut loose in the History Division one of these days. Somebody has to take me down into, like, you know, what was that movie where Nicolas Cage is in, where they go into that basement in Philadelphia, and they're looking for all these things? Yeah, kind of the Holy of Holies. They're looking for the Holy Grail, like whatever the hell they were looking for in that movie. I want to go into that for the Marine Corps. This is the Browning 30 caliber machine gun that the Waterkill machine gun that John Bazelon held at Guadalcanal. What? Yeah, that's that. Okay? This is the actual flagstaff that they put up on the island of Iwo Jima. The flags out in the museum. What? Yeah. So I'm going to finagle that. All right, we'll take a quick break. No more than 2 minutes. More, maybe 30 seconds, depending on how fast I can do this. More Ball Marine Radio coming up next on your home fort, the All Warrior Radio Network.